The Bible says in Acts 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This morning, as we gather around the Lord's table, remembering the death of our Lord, God became flesh and dwelt among us, lived a life of holy sinlessness as the God-man, and he went to the cross. And all that Jesus did, the perfections, the holiness, healing people, raising the dead, calming the sea, feeding the thousands, always saying the right thing at the right time in the right way, always speaking from love. Even when Jesus confronted his enemies, he confronted them because he loved them. When he called the Pharisees a generation of vipers, it was because he loved them and he spoke the truth to them. He confronted them lovingly. All that he did, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, before he went to the cross, he got the disciples together and he gave them a memorial service to remember his death until he come. Not a memorial service, you know, remember my miracles, remember those thousands of people I fed, remember the troubled sea that I said, peace be still, and it just turned into glass. No. What we have in front of us this morning, we have some bread to remind us of his broken body, the suffering. We have the juice to remind us that he shed his blood for our sin. That is where atonement was made on the cross. Full, complete, total, eternal atonement was made by Christ upon the cross. It is finished from that moment for all of eternity. The atonement is made. Nothing else to do, nothing else could be done. That's the only thing that could be done, and that's why God did it. Jesus prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He knew there was no other way, and his position is, there is no other way. If there was any other way, Jesus would not have gone to the cross. But because there is no other way, Jesus went to the cross. And so what we're doing this morning, these many years later, from the cross, is we are obeying the Lord when he told his disciples, this do in remembrance of me. This is an ordinance of the church, the assembled together believers in Jesus Christ, to get together this morning and say, as a group of believers, we are remembering the death of our Lord by partaking of these elements. These were bought. The grape juice is from Hy-Vee. And the crackers are ordered from a company that makes communion crackers. Nothing magical. Nothing mystical. We're not adding to our salvation. We're not confirming our salvation. We're not giving our salvation batteries a boost. It's simple obedience and love of God and obedience to Christ that we are saying yes as believers in this local church. We believe 100% that the shed blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice that Jesus made, is sufficient for the complete payment of our sin. And in Christ, it is finished, and we rejoice in that. The atonement has been made. The price has been paid. It was demanded by God's holiness, and it was performed by God's love. And it is finished. So, not only people like us, but us, could have our sins forgiven and be at peace with God. What would you give in exchange for your soul? Jesus shed his blood so we could have our sins forgiven and be at peace with God through him. We believe the word of God. What God tells us about himself, what he tells us about us, what our problem is, and who our solution is. And we trust God completely. We trust God totally. Heavenly Father, please lead us in the verses we'll look at. Guide us in our thinking into the scriptures that we will be sound in our biblical beliefs. And we will rejoice in the finished work of Christ in this memorial service. In Jesus' name, amen. Our lives, our beliefs are found and founded upon the Word of God. And they must be. In many ways, our lives are shaped by our experiences. In many ways, they are. And our experiences maybe can explain the way that we do things and explain some things, but can never be an excuse for wrong thinking or disobedience to God. But we are, in many ways, shaped by our experiences. You think about the growing up years, how highly formative those years are. You know, those first few years of life, and how you have things now that you remember from your childhood, things that you've learned and you've known for a lifetime. Sometimes when people have some issues, some dementia may be coming in, and we've gone through this as a family, but there's some things that just aren't clear, but oftentimes childhood issues are remembered, and they're clear, and there's almost, in some cases, a going back to the childhood. Those are important years. But we are much more than the sum total of our upbringing. We are much more than the sum total of our education. We're created in the image of God to know him and to love him. So our beliefs, what we choose to believe, because beliefs are chosen. Yes, we have influence upon us in our growing up years. We have influence on us because of our experiences. And those can help shape beliefs. And in many cases they do. But we are responsible for what we believe. However we got from here to here in our beliefs, we're responsible for what we believe. So to the Christian, our beliefs are from the Word of God. We had influences growing up, maybe biblical influences, and maybe your influences early on had nothing to do with Scripture, spiritual people. Maybe you're from a family that didn't know the Lord. Experiences, education. But we all come to a belief system. We all choose our beliefs. And as born-again Christians, through the shed blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, our beliefs are rooted in the Word of God. This next statement I'm going to expand on tonight at 5 o'clock. I'm just going to share it now. We'll look at it a little deeper tonight. But we need full confidence in the power and the authority of the Word of God. The Christian who is taught of God finds his guide in the Word of God and looks for no assurance beyond what the Word of God can give him. So we need full confidence in the power and authority of the Word of God and look nowhere else. Bible solid believers. We choose our beliefs. That's the way God created us. We choose our beliefs. And we're accountable for those beliefs. Well, I was misled. I was this, and this person tricked me. And, you know, that's just unfortunate. But whatever else happens, we choose our beliefs. And some people maybe have gone through some times of just terrible tragedy, and maybe there's been problems, they've been sinned against. And they choose their beliefs coming out of those experiences or those upbringings. But in Christ we're set free. And our beliefs are now based in Him and based in the Word of God. For whatever reason, for whatever explanation that we give, why do you believe what you believe? You can give explanations. Well, I believe everything. I just believe everything. Well, that's a tough spot to take. Because then, if you believe everything, you don't really believe anything. Because if everything is true, then nothing is true. Because everything conflicts. Well, I just believe whatever, because if I had this experience, I believe this because I heard somebody say it once. I still chuckle a little bit when I think about this listening on the radio some time ago and this great debate and discussion, and it was a call-in, and I guess I must have been driving somewhere or something, and this statement just struck me as funny, and it stuck with me because this well-intentioned person calls in and says, you know, I struggled with that, and I kind of believed it, but now that I've heard it on the radio, I know it's true. That just stuck with me. Now, our air is different, and, well, you know, if you see it on the internet, it must be true. You know better. If it's in here, you know it's true. This is a confusing world, and it's getting more confused. And unfortunately, too many Christians are becoming confused. This is the book of books. 66 books, 40 authors, 1,600 odd years. It's all consistent. It's all from God. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 10. Let's look at some of these truths. I'm going to read one verse in chapter 10, verse 28. The Lord Jesus, John 10:28. Jesus says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, we could go into the greater context here, but we're just going to look at some verses as we prepare to have this memorial service. What Jesus says is recorded by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. And I, that's Jesus Christ, I, that's God in flesh, give unto them eternal life. And if you've come to Christ in repentance and faith and you've been born again, this is you. I give unto them eternal life. That is eternal life. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ. I give unto them. I didn't sell it to them. I didn't bargain over it. We didn't barter it. We didn't negotiate. I give. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And they shall never perish. So you have the giver, you have the gift, and you have the promise. The giver is Jesus Christ. The gift is eternal life. And the promise is to never perish. There is salvation in Christ. The forgiveness of sin, peace with God, eternal life. Safe and secure in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all of eternity. We have security now. We have security then. We have security forever. I like what one fellow said. We cannot be good enough to earn salvation, and we cannot be bad enough to lose it. Amen. It's Christ. And by the way, how bad do you have to be to lose salvation? You know, you have to be this bad. No, you have to be this bad. If you could lose it, it would be, the margin would be too thin to notice. You wouldn't even recognize it. And I will tell you, if we had to save ourselves, we would be hopelessly lost. If we had to keep ourselves safe, we would be hopelessly lost all over again. We can't do either, and Jesus has done both. They shall never perish. It took God to do this. It took God the Son, who became man, the fully God and fully man, to go to the cross and shed his blood so this could be true, so this could be done. Eternal life. We talk of heaven, looking in the book of Revelation. We talk about streets of gold and mansions and, you know, in John 14. As wonderful as heaven is going to be, the greatest part is to be at peace with God through Jesus Christ. The greatest part is to know and love the Savior. Not that I'm minimizing heaven, but what do you compare to being at peace with God through Christ? It's Him alone. Neither is there salvation in any other. It's nowhere else. You can't find it anywhere else. It's not available anywhere else. It's Christ and only Christ. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None. The pluralism of our day is false teaching. The philosophies of our day are false. It is Jesus alone who saves people from their sin. Turn to the book of Colossians. Just a couple more verses this morning. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 8. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you, take you captive in your thinking, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So the challenge here to the believer to stay true and right thinking according to the Word of God. But you have to recognize as well how people are taken captive through the philosophy and vain deceit, trusting anything and everything except Jesus to deliver them from their sin. Trusting good works or trusting religion, a church, and not trusting Christ. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, what people say, after the rudiments of the world, after the teaching and thinking of the world, and not after Christ. Salvation is found in Christ and Christ alone. But there's thousands of religions, all teaching different ways. And some of the most powerful religions, false religions, teach that Jesus saves us from our sin if you do this, this, and this along with that. That then, yes, we recognize that Jesus died for our sins, but here's the works that you need to do. Here's the sacraments. Here's the penance. Here's the purgatory. It's all Christ, that He sets us free. Free from all of that. The philosophy and the vain deceit and the rudiments of the world, they may sound plausible. Well, it sounds right. Makes perfect sense to me. Well, look how popular it is. And we always ask, well, what does the Bible say about it? It sounds right. Is that authoritative? And I encourage you, when you have an opportunity to share the gospel, share the scripture, you can tell people what the Lord's done for you. You know, praise God, you can share your salvation testimony. But the authority is not your testimony, the authority is the Word of God. And it's so wonderful, just, you know, share what God's done, but the authority is the Word of God. Every religion and every cult in the world can tell you what that cult or religion has done for them, how it makes them feel, how it sets them free, and they just know it's right. But when you go to the scripture, all false teaching falls apart miserably. Praise God for our salvation, but our salvation is not the authority. The Word of God is the authority. And taking people to Scripture, sharing the gospel from the Word of God, the philosophies and all that the world offers, it offers everything. So it sounds right to somebody. And if you could think up a brand new religion this afternoon, I don't recommend you do this, but think up a brand new religion this afternoon, you could go online and probably somebody's already gone there and doing it, and there's probably already a following. Pluralism. We reject pluralism, stating that pluralism states that all religions are right. They're all right. Just find the one that you're most comfortable with. We say, no, God's Word is right. Find the teaching that comes from the Word of God. Universalism, popular thinking that, you know, ultimately everybody's going to be in heaven. There's no judgment. There's no hell. It's just all, you know, it's all everybody looking down on everybody else from heaven above. And then there's atheism, which seems to ebb and flow. No God, no eternity, no future, it's just man. But then there's our era, which is really a brand of paganism. Worshipping nature, worshipping spirits, ancient rituals, ancient dances and ancient routines and ancient herbs and ancient this and ancient that. But while all of this is going on, we have facts from the Word of God. As we saw in John, our salvation is secure. It's from Christ and it's in Christ. And we know that in Christ there is forgiveness of sin. There is peace with God. There is purpose for our lives. And there's purpose in our lives. And there is an eternal home in heaven for the redeemed. And that this is found in Christ and Christ alone. Titus chapter 3, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is not an opinion in the world of opinions. It's not an option in a world of options. It's absolute truth. These are facts to live with, live by, and die with. Do you believe what God says in his word? Or do you believe religions or traditions? Do you believe your intuitions? Or do you believe God? Do you believe your favorite philosopher, your favorite podcaster, your favorite website, your favorite whatever? Who do you believe? Believe the Word of God. Remember, everyone believes something. And we are created by God in his image, and he has given us the freedom to choose what we're going to believe. And while he does that and has given us that, he calls all men to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will for people to be born again through repentance and faith in the finished work of Christ. But salvation, again, is available to all, forced upon none. People can choose to reject the Lord Jesus. They can reject the gospel. They can choose to believe whatever they want to believe. They can be an atheist if they choose to be an atheist. People can pick any of the world's religions that somehow mix works with grace. You have the freedom to do that. But God loves you and he calls you to repentance and calls you to faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. Yes, we are free to be wrong. What a loss. We're also free to believe God. What a gain. As we partake of these elements here in just a moment, we thank God for salvation through Christ, his working in our lives and drawing us to him and having us respond in repentance and faith and being born again. We're thankful for those beliefs. We give God all the glory and all the credit for our salvation. Yet others who do not know the Lord, have not come to Christ, they're at enmity with God. And yes, God has given us the freedom and ability to make our choices of what we will believe. But he's also will hold us accountable for those beliefs. And we'll all give account of ourselves to God one day. And if you're a believer this morning, you will not stand before God in judgment. Jesus Christ has given account of you in the atonement on the cross. It's done. But those without Christ will stand before God and be judged and cast out of his presence. Yes, God created man with great freedom, but with freedom comes accountability. If there were no freedom, there would be no accountability. But in freedom, there's accountability to God, who is our Creator, who knows us best and loves us most. We thank God for the fact of salvation, the reminder this morning as assembled together in the local church to remember that He died for our sins, and that sacrifice paid sin in full. Heavenly Father, thank You for the verses we've looked at. Always a moving topic, always touches our hearts and minds and souls. Someday we will be with Jesus. Someday things will be more clear than they are now. But I thank You for the knowledge You give us now and the understanding You give us now, and the privilege and the opportunity that we have to be obedient to You in partaking of this memorial service. We ask Your guidance upon it in Jesus' name. Amen.